Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Although the dream Daniel described here was a rather mysterious collection of unusual imagery, the general interpretation of it is not difficult by any means. As is always the case, the Lord Himself provides the key, not through the speculations of men, but by means of His own word. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Daniel 7, verse 17. As for the identity of the four kingdoms or empires depicted here, history itself has interpreted the vision for us. They are the Babylonian Empire, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, the Medo-Persian Empire, a coalition of the Medes and Persians, the Grecian Empire, as established by Alexander the Great, and the Roman Empire. There is nothing imaginative in this interpretation. It is only a comparison of history's fulfillment of Scripture to the Scripture's own explanation of itself. Yet, while it is good that we not exercise our human imagination while examining prophecy, we still desire to look beyond that first level of interpretation. Our desire is to know the eternal things of God, not just those things which apply to the course of earthly human affairs. Let us begin our considerations of Daniel 7, then, with this simple thought. We are privileged to see here not just human events, but human events from the divine viewpoint. Through the narrow window of this prophecy, we may see in some ways as God sees, and He sees all. The story is told of an earthquake which happened many years ago in Europe. In a certain small village where most of the buildings had been destroyed, an old woman sat quietly beside the doorway of the ruin which had been her home. Everyone else was moving about the village in confusion, some shouting, some weeping, some just dazedly following the movement of the crowd. Finally, someone stopped and spoke to the old woman. "Mother, why do you sit there so quietly? Aren't you afraid of another earthquake or grieved over the loss of your home?" "No," the old woman replied calmly. "I am glad that I serve a God who has the power to shake the earth." In like fashion, realizing that God foreknows and controls the upheavals and changes in human history, we need not be distressed by them. Instead, we can be like the old woman and rejoice that we serve a God who has the power and wisdom to both foretell these things and bring them into subjection to His will. Through Isaiah, the Lord said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Isaiah 46 verses 9 and 10. Read also Isaiah 42 verse 9, Isaiah 45 verse 21, and Isaiah 48 verses 3 through 7. He is in charge. He wants us to know that fact with full assurance and to glorify Him for it. But to see a further aspect of God's viewpoint, notice the difference in wording between Daniel 7 verse 3 and 17. "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another." Daniel 7 3. "These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth." Daniel 7 verse 17. This is by no means a contradiction. The first is from Daniel's description of his dream vision, giving exact details of the symbolic spiritual imagery which God has unfolded to his mind as he slept. The second is a part of God's interpretation of the dream and its symbols. It comments on and explains the hidden meaning of what Daniel had seen. In this little portion of Scripture, we discover a symbolic picture which runs throughout Scripture prophecy, the sea. Let us consider and remember how God uses it. Inasmuch as Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture, as we accept the leading of God's Spirit, the following Scriptures are presented to explain the image of the sea in prophecy. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Isaiah 57 verses 20 and 21. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Revelation 17, verse 15. Now, what does the sea represent? It represents the restless, turbulent, storm-tossed mass of humanity, not the godly, nor Israel, but the Gentile nations. As the winds of spiritual warfare sweep to and fro across the face of the earth, striving about the will of God, the multitudes and nations are troubled. They do not perceive the hand of God behind it all, limiting Satan's power to hurt and destroy. We who know Jesus need not be carried about by every wind of doctrine, every deceitful bit of news or philosophy which Satan uses to move and unsettle men. But, oh, the lost ones! Such are helpless, having no more power to stand firm or to keep from tossing up mire and dirt than the sea does when it is driven by the wind. When the Lord gave Daniel the interpretation of his dream, he changed the word sea to earth. By this he showed Daniel that the great doings of man are earthly, not heavenly. God wants men to know that their hearts should not be fixed upon nor distressed by the course of human government, that this does not fit in with the current popular wisdom of political activism among so-called evangelical Christians does not alter Scripture. Read Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Nations and governments are the things on earth. What may we learn of the four particular systems shown in this prophecy? If you desire to know more of the political history of these kingdoms, many books are available. We will stay as much as possible within the framework of Scripture and God's spiritual view of things. First, Babylon. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Daniel 7, verse 4. The lion is a level above other beasts of prey in its courage and dignity. As a figure of spiritual things, the lion may be either good or bad, but nearly always shows someone or something which is at the head of its own order. Peter spoke of Satan as a roaring lion, 2 Peter 5:8. He seems to be the chief of a terrible company of wicked spiritual beings. The first of the living creatures of Revelation 4 has the face of a lion, Revelation 4:7. The four living ones, translated beasts in the King James Version, are glorified human beings, those who have reached the highest place available to men, Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. Christ, who is before all things and who shall have preeminence in all things, Colossians 1, 17 and 18, is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5, verse 5. In God's view, the Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar was the high point of Gentile dominion. Again, God's word is the rule by which we measure. The fact that this probably would not fit in with the currently prevailing scholarly wisdom does not alter what he has said. The eagle's wings, which were plucked, might at first seem to have been something good. One of the mighty overcomers in Revelation 4 was like a flying eagle. The great bird mounts higher than any other. It rides the same winds which only trouble and toss others, and by those winds it ascends to heights it could never reach by its own effort. Yet there can be a bad side to climbing higher and higher. Why has the judgment of God been pronounced upon Lucifer, that wicked one? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Isaiah 14:13a. Because thine heart is lifted up. Ezekiel 28, verse 2a. To move higher than the place which God has offered is sin, whether in angels or men. As we have already seen in Daniel 4, when Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted high in pride, the Most High struck him down. His wings were plucked to keep him from going where he had no right. God graciously used that judgment to lift Nebuchadnezzar up from the earth. All of his other flights had been earthbound, for he had never risen from the earth. Lions cannot fly, not even with the wings of an eagle. This lifting up was one of the Spirit, More than ever before, he knew his own earthly littleness and limitations, but now he saw him who rides on the heavens. Deuteronomy 33:26, Psalm 68:4, and 33. To this lion of a king was given a man's heart. No judgment here. As great as the lion is, man is the one creature made in God's own image. Nebuchadnezzar, for the first time in his life, became more than a beast, thinking thoughts of praise toward God and knowing the holiness which God has ordained for men. Second, let's see the Medo-Persian Empire. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. Daniel 7:5. The bear is never mentioned in a good or noble light. It is simply a mean, vicious creature with nothing in itself to make it admirable. David spoke of having to kill a bear which robbed his father's flock. 1 Samuel 17:34-37. If translated to a spiritual figure, this does not present a pleasant image of the bear. He seems there to picture Satan as the thief who enters the father's flock only to kill and to destroy. Speaking generally, there were few noble or elevating qualities in the Medo-Persian Empire. Note the words, And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. Daniel 7:5. The ribs in its mouth may speak of the three great segments of this kingdom, Media, Persia, and Babylonia. It certainly speaks of the fact that the rulers of this empire held its possessions by the exercise of a bloody, violent rulership. Men who did not know God in his fullness, who did not understand his ways, might have imagined that they had just cause to rebel against such a government. No, even a great system such as this can do nothing except God allows it. In fact, the bear is pictured in Scripture on a number of occasions as an instrument by which God's judgment is meted out. He uses all things to his own glory. Speaking of a coming judgment upon idolatrous Israel, the Lord said, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will render the call of their heart. Hosea 13:8a. Warning that religious but unrepentant nation, he said, Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Amos 5:18-19a. Read also 2 Kings 2:23-24. We saw in Daniel 5 that God used the Medo-Persian army to bring judgment upon Babylon. What we have not yet seen is that he also used this empire to restore a chastened Israel to their own land. Even his rough judgments work good for his people.